The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The race for the White House is narrowing just a bit, with a few people dropping out on the Democrat side. The numbers narrowing, things tightening up on the race. And we thought it would be a great time to bring in Sally Pipes, president and CEO of the Pacific Research Institute, to update us on the different health plans being proposed, what's good or bad about them, and all that. Sally, thanks for joining us again.
Well, thank you so much for having me on again. Yes.
Well, you know, things kind of evolve through an election cycle. Some of these candidates, some of their positions have kind of shifted a little bit. What is the latest on this moving dartboard of ideas? Where are things right now?
Well, it's very hard to say. Everything is very much in flux. The debate, as you mentioned, a couple of the people, John Hickenlooper has dropped out. He's going to run for Senate. The debate coming up in Houston in mid-September, those debates, a few people aren't going to qualify because they won't have, you know, raised enough money or have enough people sort of backing them. So, but right now, the race is tightening. I mean, I saw a poll yesterday that where Joe Biden has been in the lead and had a great lead over Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and Senator Kamala Harris. But yesterday it said that they're in a tight race. Biden, Senator Sanders and Senator Warren, of course, Senators Sanders and Warren are very much in favor of Medicare for all, single payer, banning all private insurance. Joe Biden wants to build on Obamacare, and he wants to put a public option in Obamacare, which would be a public government insurance plan competing with private insurers. As we might have mentioned before, I see this public option as a stepping stone approach to single payer, because ultimately all private cover employer insurers will be priced out of the market, and it'll be a single payer system. But that seems to be where we are. Elizabeth Warren hasn't really said where she's sitting on single payer, but she's definitely one of the co-sponsors of Bernie Sanders' bill, and she supports single payer. Kamala Harris, of course, has said, well, you know, she is one day she's for single payer, the next day she's sort of backing off a bit, but she wants to have single payer, but not have any tax increases, which of course on the middle class, which of course just can't happen. So, and she said she would raise her money through taxes on the wealthy, taxes on the sale of stocks, derivatives, and bonds. So, but she's fallen quite significantly in the poll. It may well be because she can't commit to where she actually stands on Medicare for All.
I was going to ask you that. Are they doing kind of a big, broad brushstrokes of concepts, or have they penciled it out? Do they have defensible positions? Because the soundbite that we always play here was one of the initial Kamala Harris soundbites when she held her CNN town hall, and you know, people tried to pin her down about people being able to keep their private health, and you can hear how she tackles that question.
So for people out there who like their insurance, they don't get to keep it?
Well, listen, the idea is that everyone gets access to medical care, and you don't have to go through the process of going through an insurance company, having them give you approval, going through the paperwork, all of the delay that may require. Who of us has not had that situation where you got to wait for approval and the doctor says, well, I don't know if your insurance company is going to cover this? Let's eliminate all of that. Let's move on.
Hey, Sally Pipes, we've talked about this. That broad brushstroke really leaves a lot of questions. I talk to health providers who roll their eyes. How could this work? How could anybody just walk into an office and with no appointment and not qualifying and think that they're going to be covered? And there's a lot of broad brushstrokes that are hard to defend.
Right. Well, that just can't happen. As I might have mentioned before, I am Canadian. I grew up under single payer. I worked at the Fraser Institute, where we developed back in the late 80s a project called Waiting Your Turn, a guide to waiting lists. And, you know, it was interesting that was Kamala Harris in Des Moines on the CNN debate a few months ago. But a 91-year-old woman in Ohio in a home came out against Kamala the other day and said, well, leave my health insurance alone. And I thought, and she was stumped on what to say. But, you know, when you look at these plans, if you look at, you know, what they mean, you have to look at Canada as an example, one of three countries in the world that has a true single-payer system where all private insurance is outlawed for anything considered medically necessary. The average wait from seeing a primary care doctor to getting treatment by a specialist last year was 5 months. Some waits are longer, some are a bit shorter. But, you know, when the demand for healthcare is greater than the supply, there will be waits. Care will be rationed. Our elderly will have a harder time getting doctors because they will want the people who are younger and healthier but have issues will want to treat those people first. And so there will be higher taxes. Even Bernie finally came out a couple of weeks ago and said, well, yes, my plan would cost between $30 and $40 trillion over 10 years. Charles Blayhouse came out just yesterday and said the numbers that he had, $30 to $38 trillion over 10 years, he thinks they're a bit low because, as I just mentioned, the demand for healthcare, people think something is free, will be a lot higher.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you're tying doctors' rates at 40% below the Medicare rates, a lot of doctors are going to retire.
Oh, yeah, they'll get out.
There will be a doctor shortage.
Yeah. What are the attitudes of Americans? What do they want in their healthcare system? Do they like their private insurance? What is it, 160 million of us have private insurance and we get it in relation to our employer and, you know, we do a copay here or there. But is it really that bad? I mean, who are they polling on this stuff and what do people really think? Because isn't that going to have a lot to do with what they ultimately do? If people like what they have, they're going to be kind of ticked if they take it away.
Well, exactly. And I think, you know, the latest Kaiser Family Foundation poll came out and said in their poll that 51% of people they polled like the idea of Medicare for all, which is down from 56% in their April poll. But a lot of people don't understand what Medicare for all means, single payer. So when the people were asked, well, you like Medicare for all, and of course, anyone, when something you think something's free, you know, it sounds like a great idea. But when they were told, well, there would have to be significant tax increases to cover this Medicare for all single payer program, support went down to 37%. And the other, I think, more interesting point is when they were told that they would lose their employer-sponsored insurance because all that would be left would be the government health care plan, the Indian Affairs Bureau, and the VA, and they would lose 180 million Americans have employer-sponsored insurance, and they would love it, but they would lose it. Then that support went down to 37% too. And in the poll, 76% of people who have employer-sponsored insurance rated as good or as excellent. So, you know, I think a lot of people think, oh, that sounds good, but for other people. But I like my employer-sponsored coverage, even if I pay a small part of the premium or a copay at the doctor's office, and my wages might be slightly lower. But Americans like their employer-sponsored coverage, and they have, and, you know, we have to educate people to let them know when you have Medicare for all, single payer, the single payer is the government, and there will be no ESI. And as Pramila Jayapal from Washington State, who has a bill even more comprehensive to House member than Bernie, she wants to bring in single payer over 2 years, not four. She admitted that 1 million Americans would in the insurance industry, in the health insurance industry, would lose their jobs.
So 1 million people out of work over this. Sally Pipes, president and CEO of the Pacific Research Institute, talking with us about the evolving health care plans of the candidates, where we are as a country, where things go from there. Joe Biden, former VP Joe Biden, is kind of tied to improving Obamacare, kind of the description he made in one of the debates. And yet, how did Obamacare rank? Did people like that, dislike that? I remember the big debate was after the president at the time, Obama says, if you like your health plan, you could keep it. If you like your doctor, you could keep them, and found out we couldn't actually do that under the plan. What are Americans' thoughts about Obamacare? Do they think that was that such a good deal?
Well, I don't know if you saw in the news just yesterday, I believe it was, that a Democratic House member, I think she was from Massachusetts, said, you know, I have Obamacare and it's not all it's cracked up to be. I don't like it, which was you know, interesting that a Democrat would come out and say that. She said the premiums are high. She doesn't have good coverage. The people that the congressional staffers have better coverage than the members of Congress. So that was interesting. The Obamacare has not been the great success It'll be 10 years old next March 23rd. The problem is that, you know, in the exchanges, the premiums have been very high and the deductibles are very high. So 10.7 million Americans have exchange coverage, but many of them can't use it. 85% have subsidized coverage. But a lot of times, as I say, the deductible's too high, they're having trouble with the premiums, and a lot of the docs that they had before, if they had coverage, are not in network. So we sort of overturned the healthcare system for about 10 million people. That number has been 10 to 12 million over the past 9 years with the exchanges. But, you know, it isn't a success, and it didn't lead to universal coverage, and it certainly didn't lead to bending the cost curve down.
No. And it was such a draconian way. Young people figured out if they were going to have to pay a fine or a fee or a tax, it was cheaper and a better deal for them to do that. The actuarial tables were on their side that they were not going to draw as much. And in fact, the whole thing was built on the scheme that healthy young people would get in and not use it, and they would fund the older, sicker people. And the young people figured that out.
Yes, they did. And the individual mandate was ended on January 1st of this year. But, you know, the designers of Obamacare thought that the young people would sign up at about 40%, but they didn't, as you say, because it was cheaper to spend $695 or 2.5% of income, whichever is greater, and pay that individual mandate. So the pressure on the insurance companies for the people who had chronic diseases, who were in the exchanges, they were having to, you know, pay out a lot of money, and the young people said, you know, to heck with this. And
yep, 30 seconds left. I didn't even get to California, and the governor there going to put the mandate back in for his state and going to set aside $100 million to provide free health care to illegals in a certain age group. Got 30 seconds to comment on what that's going to do.
Yes, up to the age of 26 from 19. I think we're going to see a lot more people 26 and under, illegals in other states, wanting to come to California. He says 90,000 will be covered at $98 million. I know that the demand will be a lot greater and it'll be a lot more. And so it's a disaster for the taxpayers and those people, particularly in California, who are having trouble paying for their health insurance and paying taxes. They don't want to subsidize these people who are illegal immigrants and who are going to flock to Medi-Cal, our Medicaid program in the state of California.
Yep, yep. Sally Pipes, President, CEO of the Pacific Research Institute, thank you for an update on this. We'll check back with you later on.
Thank you, Larry. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.